in Senla, and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
All right.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right for you. Got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway.
By the chariots of fire, enjoy.
It says, so you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. I want to talk about very briefly being well prepared. Amen. Repeat after me, being well prepared. Amen. Being well prepared. Being well prepared. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Being well prepared. It reminds me of Mr. Nail. He would always back his car into his garage. Whenever he made it home, he never failed to back his car into his garage. And that seemed so unusual. I mean, you know, you'd think it'd be quicker just to pull in there, you know, and let the garage down. But he would always back his car in there, and it seemed unusual, because I mean, you know, it seemed like that takes so much time and energy. And he didn't have a two-car garage either. And it just seemed like it just, and I hate for him to have to go to the restroom, and you know, I mean, you can't. It take too much time to back it in. But then it was revealed to us why he would back his car in the garage. He was a volunteer firefighter. And so he wanted to be ready when called to the station, the fire station. And the reason why he would back his car in there is because he wanted to leave quickly when called to duty.
Exactly.
He wanted to be able to leave quickly when called to save lives, to help lives.
My Lord, my Lord.
He was prepared. I went to CC's Pizza with my boys not too long ago. That good, cheap pizza. Money's tight, man. I can't do Pizza Hut and Domino's no more. And CC's, and when I pulled up there, it was a police car that I parked next to. And when I got out, the police car was still running. Francine, it was running, but there wasn't no police officer in there. And so I went into CC's, and there he is eating some pizza. The police officer. Mm-hmm. I look out, and the car's running. He in here eating pizza, sitting down. And me trying to be a good Samaritan, I went over and told him, hey, Mr. Officer, how you doing? Your car running. He said, I know. I said, you on purpose leaving it running out there? And you ain't in there? He said, man, I'm on duty. We don't ever cut it off when we on duty. He said, we leave it running because we don't know when we're going to be called upon to help save a life, to help somebody. So long as I can see it, I leave it running. We don't cut it off when we on duty. Well, we Christians can learn from that. Because there's some things you ought not cut off. Because you never know when you're going to be called. You shouldn't cut off your praise like some of y'all have done. You shouldn't cut off your worship. You shouldn't cut off your witness. You shouldn't cut off your love. Life, listen to me. Life calls us to be prepared. It's important to life that we be prepared. If I had Davenport, if I had 8 hours to cut down a tree, Abraham Lincoln said I would spend 6 of those hours sharpening my axe.
I heard that.
Because life calls us. We prepare for a career by studying, education, college. We even purchase insurance because we want to be prepared just in case of a car accident or a house fire. We want to be prepared. We even prepare for the end by providing a will for our loved ones. We want them to be prepared. We don't want them falling out over what we leave behind. Life calls us to be prepared. And the Bible teaches us that we need to be prepared spiritually. Matter of fact, go to Ephesians 6, verse 10 through verse 20. We need to put on our spiritual armor in case of spiritual attack. We need to be well prepared for spiritual attack. Write that down. Ephesians. Ephesians 6. Look at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand
against the devil's schemes, against the wiles of the devil. For listen, for we struggle not against Negroes and white folk and Hispanics. For our struggle is not with co-workers and bosses and neighbors. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this darkness, of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil. Yeah. In the heavenly realm, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand firm. Then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted for the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. We need to prepare for spiritual attack. And one way we prepare for spiritual attack is by putting on the whole armor. Not some of it, all of it. I started playing football in high school. And I never forget the first day I suited up, put on the pads, shoulder pads, thigh pads, holding pads, helmet. Seemed like it slowed me down out there. All this stuff slowed me down. And so I asked Coach, I got to wear all this. It's slowing me down, it seemed like. It's heavy. I got to put on all of it? He said, yeah, you got to put on all of it. I said, Coach, all of it? I understand the helmet and shoulder pads, but all of this other stuff? He said, Bailey, you need to put on all of it. I said, Coach, if you don't mind me asking why. He said, because you never know where you're going to get hit. You don't know where you're going to get hit. So you need to put on all of it. You need to be ready. Because you don't know where the enemy is going to hit you. And that's the reason why we need to put on the whole armor of God. Because, hear me, you don't know where the devil is going to hit you. But one thing for sure, you gonna get hit. Any football player will tell you, when you step on the field, you gonna get hit. I wish I had it. You may not even have the ball, but you gonna get hit. Because it's a contact sport. And I've come to tell y'all that's on the battlefield for the Lord. You might want to prepare yourself because you're going to get hit. Jesus told you you're going to get hit. He said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've already overcome the world. You're going to get hit. That's why the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing that the trying of you gonna get hit. Many, many are the afflictions. I'm preaching, y'all ain't saying nothing. Many hits, that's what it's saying. Many are the affliction of the righteous, but I like that but right there. But that but will keep me out of trouble right there. But the Lord delivers him from them all.
You need to get ready. Because even this week, some of y'all gonna get hit. No need of you falling out crying, throwing in a towel. You gonna get hit on that job. I'm telling you now. You're going to catch some hell this week. Yes. You're going to get hit. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to toughen up. You're going to get hit. Your wife going to hit you this week. Yeah, she's going to hit you this week. Husband going to hit you. I ain't talking about physically. I'm talking about hit you with some other stuff. Hit you with an attitude. Don't need a slamming the door and running out the house, doing a donut in the front yard. Pastor told me I was going to get hit this week. There it is right there. You just hit me.
You just hit me when you call me that. You just hit me.
You don't ever see no same football player run off the field after he got hit. Oh, they're hitting too hard, man. I quit. Y'all mad at this. You would think they were a sissy. A punk, man, they're going to run off the field crying. All you men in here would lose respect for a man like that. I know he ain't crying on the sideline because he got hit. Some hits you ain't gonna even get up from. You just gotta lay out and just put your thumb up and say, I'm still here, as they carry you off. Somebody put your thumb up and say, I'm still here. I can't get up for that one right now. You're gonna get hit. Go to Job chapter 1. Because you got to get ready. You got to get ready for these hits. You got to get ready. We got to get ready for them. Just because you're getting hit don't mean you ain't living right. But Job was living right and he got hit. Look at Job chapter 1. He was prepared for the hits though, because if you look at verse 1, he was blameless. He was upright. He feared God. He shunned evil. He was prepared for them hits. Matter of fact, look at verse 4. He was prepared for it. His sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. He knew they were drinking over there. He knew they were partying over there. And when a period of feasting had run its course, he knew when they got through, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. And in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them. You see that? He was preparing for them hits. Perhaps my children have sinned. He didn't know what they were doing in that house over there. And curse God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. Regular. He was regular. So a lot of y'all are regular physically, but you ain't regular spiritually. He was regular. This was his regular custom. And then look at verse 8. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He's blameless, upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And make a long story short, Satan said, you know why I can't touch Job. You know why I can't hit him. You got that shield around him. Around his children, his property, his finances. Remove that shield. Does he serve you for not? Or is he serving you for that stuff? Take the shield off. I'll make him cuss you to your face. I'll hit him so hard, he'll cuss you out. What Satan was saying, I'll hit him so hard, I'll make him cuss you. Some of us have done that. Satan has hit us so hard, we done took it out on God. In one day, look at that, verse 14, his finances were hit. A messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and made off with them. That's his finances. They put the servants to the sword. There go his friends. And I'm the only one who is saved to tell you. While he was speaking, another messenger came. The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants. I'm the only one who's escaped to tell you. That's finances. It's gone. The devil hit his finances. While he was speaking, another messenger came, said, the Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. That's his finances. He got hit financially. While he was speaking, yet another came. Look at all these hits. My God! While he was speaking, yet another messenger came. Yo, Job, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them. They are dead. All of them, Job, dead. They're gone, man. I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. Job was ready for it, because look at verse 20. At this, Job got up. What's Job going to do? What Job about to do? He about to cuss. Man, he about to lose it. He about to go off. I know he about to go off. He tore his robe. He shaved his head. What Job about to do? What he doing after being hit like this? What's he doing? He fell to the ground and worshiped. After being hit, he's in worship. And watch this, in worship, he ain't just sitting up there crying and... He just ain't in worship. He said, I got a testimony. Job, it's okay, man, if you don't want to testify, man. You just got hit. No, I need to testify. Job, your children are gone, man. Just sit down. Just get. No, I need to testify. Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. And in all of this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. He was well prepared.
Teach.
I'm telling you, you don't need to get prepared for them blessings God's about to give you. But you need to get prepared for them hits. Because watch them hits, if you handle the hits right, it leads to them blessings. Some of y'all wouldn't be where you are had you not got hit. I'm preaching, y'all ain't saying nothing. Matter of fact, that's why the Bible says he'll make your enemies your footstool after they hit you. I wish I had to, after they done hurt you, God's going to turn it around and prepare a table before you in the presence of folk that hit you. And he's going to anoint your head. It's going to lead to a greater anointing. And your cup going to run over.
It'll
make your enemies your footstool. And a footstool helps you to reach something else. Some of y'all never would have reached where you are had they not hit you. Y'all ain't praying with me here. You wouldn't have the good job you have right now had they not fired you from that last one. You wouldn't have the good man you have right now had the other man not cheated on you. You wouldn't have the good woman you have right now had the other woman not done you wrong.
Somebody need to text them right now and say, thanks for the boost. Thanks for the boost. B-O-O-S-T. You did this. You got me here. Thanks for the boost. Because you made me lean on the Lord. I was leaning on you. But when you did me wrong, I shift my lean. And I found out he'll never leave me. No, for saying, I thank you.
You meant it for evil, but God.
Thanks. That's why you are not hate your haters. Thank you, haters. I owe you a thank you.
Don't hate them, thank them.
You made me trust in the Lord. Thank you. You made me pray harder. You made me go to church more.
You need to prepare for spiritual attacks because they lead to spiritual blessings. I mean, even with the football player, because he can take a hit, he living good. Because he can take hits and still operate according to the playbook.
You better teach that.
In spite of being hit.
Teach that.
Because he still can be effective in spite of being hit. He's driving nice cars. But notice they start with getting down first. Y'all ain't praying with me here. I tell you, getting down will help brace you for the hits. So one reason why some of y'all can't handle the hits, y'all too high. If you're going to get ready for this, you're going to have to go down.
See you in the end zone shouting. You don't take all that. No, you don't know what I survived.
You don't know the hits I took.
They now penalizing folk in the NFL for, you know, doing too much in the end zone. But you know what? Them fellas don't even care, because you don't know who almost got me. Look at your neighbor and say, forgive me if I act a little strange. But you don't know the hits I survive. You don't know the injuries. Thomas, I feel good. Go to Matthew 26. I gotta show you this. Go to Matthew 26. Go to Matthew 26. See, you gotta prepare for these spiritual attacks. Lord have mercy. You gotta prepare. Look at verse 36. Matthew 26. Verse 36. Jesus knew what was coming. He knew what was coming. He came to die. He came to give his life as a ransom. He knew he was gonna have to take some hits. So he had the boys with him, the disciples.
Yeah.
Verse 36, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane and said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. He knew what was about to come. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Look what he said, stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it be possible, I don't want to take this hit. May this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as thou will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for just 1 hour? He asked Peter. Look what he said, verse 41, watch and pray, Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, you need to pray. You need to prepare for the temptation that's coming, man. And the only way you're going to be ready for this temptation, you got to pray. He went away a second time and prayed, Father, be possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it. May your will be done. He didn't want to get hit like that. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away one more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. I'm about to get hit. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, look at this, with him was a large crowd armed in swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man to arrest. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, greeting, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus replied, this how you gonna hit me? Do what you came for, friend. Then the men stepped forward and seized Jesus, arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for a sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. That's Peter. Look what Jesus said, put your sword up. Jesus said to him, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father? And he will at once put my disposal more than 12 legion of angels. But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way? I got to get these hits. I got to go through this in order to save New Greenwood. I got to go. I got to go through this in order to save Louisiana. In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophet might be fulfilled. Look at this. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Now watch this. The reason why all of the disciples deserted him and fled, because all of them were sleeping.
All right. It's really gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all right.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events on the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
K-A-Y-T, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.
Circling the globe.